Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The grandmother of one of the 20 children killed in Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, said that the child's family had moved there because of the great schools and community. What happened, Elba Marquez told one journalist, does not match up with the place where they live. That's what they said in Aurora, in Columbine, at Virginia Tech, and almost everywhere there is a mass killing, such as the one last Friday. Ironically, the mother of the troubled young man who carried out the Newtown school massacre, and a victim herself, by the way, had amassed the weapons used in the assault because of her own fears of violence. So if place is no guarantee and being armed to the teeth is no buffer, if we decide we can't afford the time or the money or other resources to address the mental illnesses behind these attacks, what is left for us to talk about? That's what we're about today. No doubt we will not finish this conversation today, but let's start the discussion in our usual civil manner in an all sides open forum. But let's first start with the president.
This evening, Michelle and I will do what I know every parent in America will do, which is hug our children a little tighter, and we'll tell them that we love them, and we'll remind each other how deeply we love one another. But there are families in Connecticut who cannot do that tonight. And they need all of us right now. In the hard days to come, that community needs us to be at our best as Americans. And I will do everything in my power as president to help.
So, with that in mind, today we're going to talk about what happened in Newtown, Connecticut. Nothing else in the news. And what you're feeling about that. And how you'd like us to address it as a nation. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides Facebook page and post your question or comment there. And you can tweet us at WOSU All Sides. Once again, we're containing our open forum today to the topic of the Newtown, Connecticut mass killing on Friday. 20 children died, along with 6 adults. And a 7th adult was the mother of the shooter. She was the first one killed in the massacre. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What do you make of the conversations over the weekend? Are you frustrated? Do you feel like we're getting somewhere? Is this the straw that broke the camel's back? Are you of the mind that if the school officials, the principal and so forth, had been armed themselves, things would have been better or worse? What about the mental illness that this young man obviously suffered from? Are we treating people properly in this country? Are we paying enough attention to these issues? Do we spend enough resources? Do we take it seriously enough? Often the conversations after these kind of events turn to gun control. But is that all that's at issue today? 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Patty in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I already told the girl that over listening over the weekend, it's only been brought up the fact that the shooter in Columbus and the one on trial in Cleveland, Ohio, both had red hair.
I'm sorry, you said the shooter in Columbus?
I'm sorry, the shooter in Cleveland that's on trial.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one.
He's been on the news just this weekend. His parents don't want it brought into trial, that they had a conversation with him that was recorded on the telephone. But when he was on the news, he had a red hair just like the kid killed his mother and the kids at the school.
Oh, the Chardon killing. And okay, so you're saying the kid who killed his mother
In Cleveland. In Connecticut.
Does he have red hair? I guess I hadn't heard that.
Well, yes, when they showed pictures of him when he was younger, he had red hair. Now it's more of a brownish color.
Okay. So you think there might be a connection that way?
Well, I think he was probably teased at school, bullied, and probably turned into rage.
Okay. All right.
Now, I have a red-haired son, however. He's a handsome kid. He's 13, and when he was 12, he was called a ginger.
Yeah.
And, he didn't do anything about it until the end of the school year, and a teacher overheard him call the kid who said he was a ginger. That was the end of the year, and he said he held it back as long as he could.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, the school called in both of the parents, and the kids worked it out.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, as someone who was called Four Eyes all the way through grade school, it's better to work it out, so I'm glad to hear that he did.
Yes.
Patty, thanks a lot for your call. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye. Kathy in Columbus, you're on the air on an open forum. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Hi there. I was called Four Eyes also, so I didn't have any real issues with that. But
it was true. So.
I know. I wore glasses, so go ahead and make fun of me. But my point is that now, when this is over, the first thing everybody does is pray. God is mentioned. Praying is mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we take it out of the schools to begin with? I remember a day, I'm 51 years old, I remember a day when we said the Pledge of Allegiance, we prayed, we didn't have any problems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world went on, but we didn't have what we have now. So it's not working out for those who, said, oh, take God out of school, it's a horrible thing to have God in your schools. How about we try putting him back in?
I don't remember God ever being in my school, though. I went to a public school all the way through.
Yep, he was, but I mean, I just... It's like letting I just don't understand why now after it's over with, that's what everybody wants to do, but he's not allowed in our school.
That's an interesting observation. You're right. A lot of prayers for the families and the people in Newtown, Connecticut. So interesting observation. You're right. The president, the first thing he did when he spoke at the to the packed auditorium yesterday in Newtown was quote from, I think, the scriptures. So, Kathy, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. The number is 614-292-8513. We do have an open forum this hour. We're talking about what happened in Newtown, Connecticut on Friday morning. 20 children were killed, 6 adults. And then in addition to that, the mother of the 20-year-old shooter. Give us a call. If you want to talk about that, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Don in Cincinnati, you're on the air. Welcome, Don.
Good morning. I had an observation on the situation. Also, I'd like to make a side comment on insanity, too, or whatever is the problem with the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing is, as far as reducing the sort of the situation, I don't think the gun checks are good enough. I think that the gun checks could be vastly enlarged to check out not only the person to see whether or not he's crazy or locked up, but also check his family and check as many aspects as you can of his life to see what his status is. And if he has a person that in the family that is unstable, then that might be a flag to not give that person guns because they'd be pretty much easily accessible to the other person.
Or at least you have to have a safe place to lock them up and that sort of thing.
Okay, but if you have a crazy person around, then it's going to be a lot more difficult to keep everything under control, whether they're locked or not.
Okay.
You have to watch them every second if you unlock it and everything else. But just basically to have an extremely in-depth check of the person, his family,
mm-hmm.
maybe even relatives, the father even, or mother, or as much as it takes to find out if there's any unstable aspects in that family.
Okay.
And the second thing I'd like to say is that really quickly, is that as far as mental instability goes, there is something that made that little baby turn into a monster. and nobody's addressing this issue. And the fact I more prefer to think of this situation as the man having had an accident, just like somebody who drives into a bus or anything else and kills a lot of people. They call that an accident. This person, like I say, when he was a baby, wasn't a monster. Something affected him, and he became this way. I don't know if it was his family life or something else. Maybe somebody called him Four Eyes at school, so he decided to clear everybody off. But there was an external force on him, just as much as he was an external force on these others. Thank you for my comment.
All right, Don, thank you. What do you think? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Tom in Circleville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you, Ann. Long time listener, and I know I call a lot. Thank you.
You don't call that much. Go ahead.
I blame the lawyers and the people that thought they were helping the mentally ill and the mentally ill people by emptying the institution. Now, I know the institutions weren't all that great, but at least they were given their medications, and what help could be given to them was given to them. I do believe that if somebody, and we have a lot of them walking the streets, I've been accosted by them, that if they don't want to take their meds, they don't have to take their meds. And then they get in trouble, and then the only way we help them is we throw them in jail with criminals who then abuse them even more. You know, it's a vicious cycle, and what we need to do is identify the people with mental problems, get them help, make them take their meds, make them take whatever counseling they need until they get back on their feet, and then we have to set up a check system to make sure that they're still on their meds,
right,
and that that they're able to cope. Let me put it that way.
You know, I think that there's a couple issues here. Number one, we don't quite know. Pretty much, it's clear that the shooter was mentally ill, but we don't know what the nature of his mental illness was. And also what you're suggesting is not only policy-wise and, you know, in direct opposition to what the trends have been over the last 20, 25 years, but extremely expensive.
Well, if you want, you know, if you have someone you know what good does it do to get a person that is sometimes mentally incompetent when they are not on their medications to be arrested by the police,
mm-hmm.
then thrown in the slammer,
mm-hmm.
and then get more abused, to where we could set up a system to where this person needs to take their meds and also gets counseling and, you know, and get them back on their feet. Because, you know, a lot of these people that if they had the proper medication and the proper counseling wouldn't be in the place that they're at now.
One thing,
they wouldn't be living under bridges, you know. And you wouldn't see them on the corner with the cardboard sign.
You know, a lot of people who live under bridges and sit on the corners with cardboard signs have choices. They're not necessarily all without choices, but they choose not to be in those institutions that exist for them now because they're not pleasant places to be, Tom.
Well, I understand that.
Okay.
You need to, that's because we didn't have guidance over those institutions. In the old days, they were just thrown in there and locked away. We know better now. We know what we need to do to treat the symptoms, but we won't spend the money to treat the symptoms. It's just like if you have an infected leg and you don't go to the doctor, either you're going to die or lose the leg.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's happening now. You know, I'm not saying throw them in a dark, dank, rotten place. I'm saying send them to a place where they can get help,
mm-hmm.
proper help, and not the jails. To where that's the only place they're going to get help.
And there's a majority of the inmates in jails and prisons.
Right.
Do suffer from some kind of illness.
I'd be more than willing to pay taxes on that to help a fellow man.
Okay.
To get back on his feet, you know, and to start leading a normal life. Mm-hmm. You know, I would spend anything. This what has happened is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
We really don't know what happened, and you're correct on that. But I can't believe this person was sane.
No. I think everybody agrees he was at some trouble. You know, so seriously,
That's just my comment.
Okay.
Thank you very much for having me on. And my heart and soul is out to all these people and anyone who has to suffer the fate that these poor children and the family members have. Or I couldn't do it. That's all I can say.
Thank you, Tom.
I hope you have a great day.
You too. Take care. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We'll be right back.
This is Neil Conan, host of Talk of the Nation. We hope you'll listen for live coverage of breaking news as it happens, for expert analysis that's insightful, balanced, and engaging. And we hope you'll call to join the conversations about the topics on everybody's mind. For all that and more, listen to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon from 2 to 4 on 89.7 NPR News. 45 degrees, and there are some rain showers likely today, a high of 53. More rain tonight, a low of 38 degrees. A chance of morning rain Tuesday, then some sunshine, a high of 47. Support for 89.7 comes from Homestead Senior Care, ready to assist families that have discovered over the holidays that their loved ones need help. More at homestead.com or 1-800-4-SENIORS. Homestead Senior Care. To us, it's personal. And All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. We have an open forum this hour. We are talking about the Newtown, Connecticut killings, mass killings on Friday. It's news around the world by now. I'm sure you've heard about it. 20 children, I think it was ages 5 to 10, killed. Six adults, including the principal of the school. And then in addition to that, a seventh, the mother of the 20-year-old shooter. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, if you want to join the conversation. Of course, we're going to be civil to each other today, of all days. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Kelly in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I don't know, this issue, you ain't going to be able to do too much with the mental issue, because you can't have somebody following somebody around making them take their meds when they're supposed to. The gun laws and everything, both of those are going to be an uphill battle. So why don't they start with securing the schools better?
How?
Like, well, I can remember when I was growing up back in, going to elementary back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
The school I attended had like a wire mesh, first of all, and embedded in the glass. I mean, you could poke holes through it. You could punch it, but you ain't going to knock it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you shoot holes through it and everything. You could not knock that stuff out.
Okay.
Second of all, I know there's probably a fire issue there, but, you know, sprinkler system. Second of all, double door entries where you walk into you walk through one set of doors and into another set of doors.
Hmm.
That's another good idea because that would have slowed anybody down right there.
Hmm.
Third, you know, well, like they got in the prison, automatic lock doors, you know, principal, whoever, as soon as there was a problem, you hit that button, locked every door down in the school, you know,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, even armed security at the schools nowadays. I mean, it sounds a little extreme, but, you know, we just lost 20 possible presidents, you know, 20 possible, I can't even think right now, so it's irritating, but, you know, we just lost it.
We just lost
thing.
A lot of innocent human
priceless.
Life, right?
They put these metal detectors in the courtrooms and stuff, you know, office buildings, downtown to guard a couple judges. Well, we just lost, you know, a possible 20 Supreme Court judges, you know, whatever, presidents. Mm-hmm. I mean, just secure them.
Yeah.
Make it, very difficult to even try to get in, let alone, you know.
Get around.
Consider trying, yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know, they spend billions of dollars on some of the craziest things, but they haven't. You know, they haven't really lifted a finger to try and do anything for the public schools.
All right.
So that's my opinion.
All right, Kelly. Thanks a lot for your opinion.
You.
We appreciate it. Take care. Rod in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Rod.
Yes, good morning. You know, terrible tragedy, you know, horrible tragedy. You know, 20 young lives, you know, promising lives snuffed out. I have to agree with Don. You know, we need to tighten up the requirements for getting a gun. And also, one common thread with this has been these have been assault rifles with multiple round magazines. Mm-hmm. We need to do something about that. You know, maybe limit the number of rounds or something like that. You know, the, you know, they can have, or, you know, maybe ban assault rifles. Also, one of the relatives of the victims mentioned, you know, talked about the violent video games. You know, basically there, you know, there are video games out there where basically, you know, the object is to see how many people you can kill in a given time. And also, I wanted to mention, you know, right now Governor Kasich has on his desk, you know, that, you know, there was a news story that was just on about having a bill on his desk, you know, having to do with storing guns with multiple rounds in cars. And I think maybe that should be vetoed.
In the State House garage, among other places, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll see what the governor's going to do. He's been asked to veto that legislation. Maybe someone can get me a little bit more detail about that so we can let people know what we're talking about. But, Rod, thanks for your call.
Thank you. Have
Take
a good
care.
Day.
You too. Kathy in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Kathy.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call, Ann. And by the way, I just wanted to mention, I so much appreciate your show. I listen to you a lot in the car. And,
thank you.
Yeah, it is really an awful tragedy. And it seems to be one that's happening more regularly as time goes on. I am in the mental health field. And so I know one of the questions that's often raised is what was going on with this person mentally. I know that we'll be hearing more about him as time goes on, mm-hmm. If he had been getting treatment or not, that sort of thing.
Right.
I think it's difficult. I don't want to focus overly on the mental health issue, but I do want to say that the point you had made earlier when you were talking with the one gentleman about you know, he was suggesting monitoring.
Extensive monitoring.
Extensive mm-hmm. monitoring. And you had made the point that that would be extremely expensive, which I totally agree with. Not only the cost, but also, you know, you have to balance a person's rights.
Right.
You know, the human rights of this individual with the safety of society. You're constantly doing that mm-hmm. in the mental health field and in you know, other areas. So that's a real difficult balance. So that's, you know, as far as mental health goes, definitely we need to look into that. And I also want to make the point that there are individuals out there who aren't mentally ill who go out and commit acts, atrocious acts like this as well, which is unfortunate. I don't want to overly focus on the mental health issue, but it
people in fits of anger, that kind of the crimes of passion, angry because they've lost their job or whatever.
Yeah, go, you know, quote unquote going postal, mm-hmm. and then it's investigated. People, they're evaluated by forensic psychologists, psychiatrists, and it's determined that the person, you know, is not mentally ill.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, I agree that this individual sounds like someone who was mentally ill, but he will need to be evaluated if he hasn't already had. Well, he is not going to be evaluated, obviously, right. But it will be found out if he had been, mm-hmm. and you know what the findings were. But my main comment is just on a broader level that when problems like this arise, it's a call for us to, again, I think, as a society, review all of these issues, not only in the mental health arena, but also the one gentleman was talking about security systems in the school, okay, reviewing that, reviewing the gun control. All these issues are brought up and need to be discussed again and maybe tweaked, changed, cracked down on more.
What worked, what didn't.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's sometimes tragic events like this which bring up these concerns again, and we come to a better understanding of how to resolve them in the future. And unfortunately, I don't think they are completely unavoidable because of human nature. I'll just kind of say that as a mental health person. But I think we can certainly do a lot more in the future to prevent these awful, awful tragedies.
All right, Kathy, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We have an open forum this hour. We're talking about Newtown, Connecticut, and the horrible tragedy that occurred there on Friday. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Jim in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
I'm going to pull over a little bit. I was driving.
Thank you.
I'd like to make this comment. I work with juvenile delinquents, and I'm the person who interviews them as they come in. I just want to let people out there know that I have seen so many kids who've been shot, and I talk to kids, and invariably they tell me how easy it is for them to get guns. I'm talking about Uzis, any type of gun they want. They're readily available on the streets. And I just want to, you know, put this out there as a warning. If anything ever turns bad, really bad in this country, you have inner cities all across this nation armed with young men and also women with guns.
You know, but
all over the city,
Jim. I mean, but that, you know, the thing is, the irony of all of this is that number one, the mother who supplied the guns that this guy used had collected these guns because of her fear of security. They lived in an upper middle class suburb in Connecticut. When these kinds of tragedies occur, they don't occur in the urban centers, the inner cities. They occur in the suburbs, in the nice parts of town.
Well, what's occurring is kids are being shot every day.
Mm-hmm.
So thousands are being shot and killed every day. We just don't hear about it.
You're right. Good
until
point.
Until there's a major killing. When,
if we added them all up together, there'd be mass murder every day.
People have no clue. And how many kids, you know, how many kids have been shot in this, just in the city? And I just think it's just symptomatic of a sick society. We have allowed this gun lobby be able to readily have guns available to anyone who wants them at any time. It's just, I think, it's symptomatic of a sick society that we have. That's my comment.
All right. Well, Jim, thanks for your comment. We appreciate it. Take care. You agree or not? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Just to look, refresh our memories about the proposed law that's on the desk of Governor Kasich today. Under current law, if someone has a loaded magazine or clip and a gun, it's considered a loaded weapon and it's banned in a vehicle. The law would change that so loaded clips and guns could be carried side by side. Only a bullet-filled magazine actually inserted into a gun would be banned. Guns could be left in vehicles parked in the State House garage beneath the Ohio State House under the bill. Okay. 614-292-8513 if you have some thoughts or feelings about that. From Bradley on Facebook, he says, the president's children are protected by people with guns, so why aren't yours? It's an interesting observation, Bradley. I would imagine the president's children and the president and the first lady get death threats a lot, but and mine don't, but... Interesting comparison. Email from Joseph. I'm answering the original question here. What can we do if we're unwilling to work on mental illness or the other obvious solutions? He writes, I propose within each city or jurisdiction, we should prohibit any gun or ammunition sales in the 48 hours following a death by gun violence. That measure would clearly link the presence of guns to the violence they are used for. That measure would also highlight the inconsistency of our gun culture by allowing people to celebrate nonviolent days with gun purchases. It would also incentivize collective action to limit violent actions so that hunters can purchase weapons. All right. Thanks a lot for that. Turning now to Joel in Columbus. Hi, Joel. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ann. Thanks for having me. Your show was the first I thought of last week when this was happening. I was like, I can't wait till Ann has an open forum. I think the mental issue is the completely wrong direction. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I think, first off, I agree with one of your earlier callers that locking down the schools would certainly help. I recently moved from the London school district, mm-hmm. where their doors were locked tight. They had to know who you were in order to get in. I'm now in the Hilliard school district. I have a second grader, a third grader, and a sixth grader. My son, my third grader, forgot his lunch today, so I went to take it to his school. I had to hit a button to get in. But they didn't ask me who I was or anything like that. They don't know me there. They let me in. And when I asked them about it, they said, well, you have to walk by the office so we see who it is. I'm thinking in my mind, by that point, it's too late for something like this. So I think I agree with an earlier caller. I think for a temporary solution, that's one of the first things that we could do is look at that a little bit more concretely.
Tighten up some of those policies a little bit.
Of course.
Because he was talking about construction issues, actually, you know, pretty expensive things.
Something as simple as adding in an intercom and saying, yes, mm-hmm. who are you? Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
So that's one place to start. I do believe ultimately, though, Anne, this is all about guns. I mean, we know why guns are so prevalent in this country, because it's all about money and it's all about power. And we have these lobbies that pressure our politicians into not doing anything serious about this issue. Now, I know there's a lot of pro-gun people out there, and I appreciate everyone's right to have what they have under our current laws, but I just do not understand why we need the type of guns that we have legal in this country. And I know that with the Supreme Court letting the assault weapons ban drop recently in the past few years, that these guns have now become a lot more accessible. Again, that's something I think should be immediately looked at. I don't understand that at all, mm-hmm. Because these were the type of weapons that were used in this incident. The shooter's mental capacity, I feel, doesn't come into much. It doesn't have much into play because his mother was a good gun enthusiast, like you said, had them for protection. So how is there any way that to stop from him taking those guns going into that school? I'm sure the school staff knew him or knew of his mother. How did he get in?
Apparently, they didn't. Apparently, you know, we're finding now that the mother had no connection to the school, Joel. I mean, I just found this out reading today. But one point I wanted to make before I let you go is these are needles in a haystack. There are lots of people struggling with mental health issues out there. And to suggest that a mental health issue, a mental illness in and of itself, to find somebody who would go out and commit an act like this is very, very unfair to all the people out there and their families and everyone who cares about them, who are taking care of them and trying to help them. It doesn't give much credence to everything that they're doing, and we should make sure we do that. These are needles in a haystack. There's how do you know? And so I think I mean, your point's well taken is mental health is one issue, but I
totally agree with you, and I think that this is the minority issue in this whole thing. I think that guns are the number one. And before I let you go, I'll get off here, but I wanted to suggest that we start working in this country. I think that this should be a tipping point. I heard on the BBC over this past weekend that we have 5% of the world's population in this country, but we own 50% of the guns, and that in the last 10 years, out of the last 11 out of the last 20 mass killings that have happened in the last 10 years have happened in this country. This needs to be a tipping point. There were 20 children, first graders, that were murdered. I mean, this is just, this is it. We've got to do something. What about an alternate type of weapons source for our police forces? What about going to tasers? What about something that stuns people instead of killing them? Why do we have to kill people in order to defend ourselves? That's all I have to say. I'll let you go. But that was my major point. All right. Appreciate it, Dan. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Joel. We appreciate your
call.
Yep. We're talking about the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. In its wake, what do we do? We're having a good conversation today, and I appreciate all the civility and the thoughtful comments. We'll continue when we return. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
...2012 is coming to an end, but there is still time for you to make your tax-deductible contribution to 89.7 NPR News. Our goal is to raise an additional $50,000 by December 31st. And when you pledge online right now, you'll receive a special WOSU member card offer exclusive to year-end supporters. Visit us right now at wosu.org/year-end for your special offer. Happy New Year, and thank you for supporting 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us today. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, hour two of All Sides begins. And it's 45 degrees in downtown Columbus. Expect rain today with a high of 53. Showers are likely tonight as well, a low of 38 degrees. And then some showers for Tuesday morning, sunshine in the afternoon, a high of 47. Support for 89.7 comes from Easton Shoes, a family-owned business serving the footwear needs of Central Ohio since 1954. Showcasing the old-world European craftsmanship of Finn Comfort Shoes, along with individualized personal service. Easton Shoes, located at the northwest corner of Reed and Henderson. And All Sides continues here on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. We're having our first probably of many conversations about how to respond and what we do in the wake of this horrible tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. 20 young children were killed on Friday, as you know, and six adults in the school, and then another one. The mother of the shooter was the first one to go. She was also the person who provided or who had the guns and the weapons in her home. She collected them. She was a collector. She did so because she was afraid of the violent society that we live in, according to news and on television and in the newspaper reports. Give us a call if you want to join the conversation, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Charles in Magnolia, you're on the air. Magnolia, Ohio, Charles?
Yes, how are you doing?
Fine. Where's Magnolia?
It would be east of Columbus, right below Canton, Ohio.
All righty, okay. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. I guess I basically want to touch base on anytime you have a problem in a community, society, in America in general, you want to get to the root of the problem. And I think we're just basically skimming the surface. Our answer, in my opinion, lies deeper. What is our most important commodity in America? And when most people think of commodity, they think of what? Gold, silver,
coal,
platinum, money. But
natural
really,
gas.
If you really think it, natural gas, yes. And when it really comes down to it, what is our most important commodity here?
Our children,
in
of course.
Our children. It's the legacy that we provide to them to lead the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
We currently rank 29th in global education. You know what that means? That means that there's 28 other countries that are surpassing us.
Mm-hmm.
And the global role that we play as a leader is slowly falling. And if you look at America 50, 60 years ago versus today, we are not the nation that we once was. Our answer lies in our educational system. It is literally our antiqued educational system. It's what we teach our youth. We are experiencing here in America this silent cancer so to speak, of moral decay. And the viewers are more welcome to comment on my remarks. We need a system that cohabitates side by side with academic education, because if you think about it, our children really ain't being taught life skills anymore. Look at our divorce rates. You've got single parent moms that are working two and three jobs, and who's really raising the kids? Nintendo, DS, Wii.
Apparently not the dads, right?
Yeah, not the dads, yeah. I mean, and then you got single parent fathers too.
Mm-hmm,
who mothers have ran off, and we're changing here in America, and we need an educational system that fits our times.
All right.
Not one that's 50 or 60 years ago. I mean, don't you agree? If you think about it, our problem solving methods have become too bureaucratic, insufficient, and I would just say incestuous. I mean, sure, I believe in stricter control.
Well, we already call the kids to class like a cattle call, so I don't think it's getting get much stricter than that. They're very controlled in schools these days. They're called to school by a bell. They respond like robots to the bell nowadays.
Exactly.
So that's
exactly.
The way it's been for a long, long time. They're very good at that.
But don't you agree that we need a system that like character and moral education? That
well, I the agree, time. The not agree. Everybody has the issue when it comes to that, Charles, I think, is, well, what is moral? What do we mean by that? And as soon as we get into those kinds of issues, everything kind of falls apart because people have very different opinions about that. But I think you're in spirit. Everyone would agree. We want to have some kind of, moral fiber to this country that would, prevent things like this from happening. But that's the question. What would that moral fiber consist of? I want to get to a few other calls, Charles, but I certainly appreciate yours today.
Yes, thank you.
Take care. Thanks.
Yep.
Marcia in Granville, you agree with what Charles just said?
I don't think I even want to go where Charles has
all
been.
All right.
I'm a retired school teacher and a mom and a grandma, and I guess, like most people listening to your show, Ann, I have thought about little else in the last few days since this happened. I had a friend that posted something on Facebook that has just resonated with me, and I keep thinking about it, and it was a quote by somebody anonymous that she posted, and it said, sometimes I want to ask God why he allows poverty, suffering, and injustice in our world when he has the power to prevent it. But I'm afraid he would ask me the same question. And I guess I've just really, really been thinking about that, is that, people who believe in God or a higher power believe that we've been created in that particular image as a person who is kind and caring and intelligent and makes wise decisions based on our own lives and the people around us. And, I look at the news report of this 5'2" principal and the guidance counselor who charged this gunman to try to prevent the horror that happened in that school. And yet we, and I'm including myself in this, elect Congress people and senators who are afraid to go up against the NRA because they're afraid of the money and the fact that they'll be targeted and not reelected. We have the power. This young man should not have done this with a knife or a regular gun. I mean, this happened in a matter of minutes. Mm-hmm. And according to the news reports, he had enough ammunition to take out that whole school.
Right.
Nobody in this country needs an assault rifle. It's not about taking away a rifle so you can hunt deer. Nobody needs that. And why haven't we done something about that? And I'm not going to let it rest. I think that, a tragedy happens and we're so incensed and we're so heartbroken. And then before we know it, something else happens and it takes the place. But, voters in this country, as adults who are responsible for protecting children, we have got to stand up and do something and not wait for other people to do it for us. That's my main thought about what has happened and what I've been listening to this morning, Ann.
All right, Marcia. Well, we appreciate your thought.
Thank you.
Take care. Steve in Bay Village, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say I watch your show often. You're cool. Your show is cool. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Steve.
Three comments. The damage is done already. The thing is, we don't hear these things happening 30 years ago. You know, there's too many bad seeds planted. You know, kids today, you know, they're bombarded by the media, television, you know, what you see, you know, in movies and video games. None of that stuff existed, you know, 30, 40 years ago. And, you know, you have, you know, as far as gun issue, I don't think that's the issue. Let the one journalist, I forget his name, it was in the evening news, you know, he said that's not going to stop anything. You know, there's over 300 million guns.
They're
know.
Out there now, in other words.
Right. They're,
no take they backs.
They're not biodegradable. They're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. They're there. So that's not the issue. That's not going to change anything. Putting a gun ban, it's not going to change. It's not going to make a difference. My daughter's a sophomore down at OSU. You know, we've talked to campus police. Bicycles, you know, are targeted. They have, organized thieves, gangs of thieves stealing bikes, bicycles, cutting off locks and cables and chains. And, you know, and they even said, we have very, very few minimum cameras on campus. And I think that's bizarre in itself. You know, you're paying all this money. I think these soft targets, as they, you know, label, quote unquote, these soft targets, schools and such, I think we need to have better security. And, you know, just like you have a custodian, you know, on, you know, 24 hours, you know, whatever the, you know, the hours of the school, whether, you know, they have, you know, basketball game or volleyball game, there's mm-hmm. always a custodian on staff or two, you know, they need to have, a security guards and have cameras, you know, at all entrances. And most schools do have double door. I listened to one comment of your viewer earlier. Most schools do have double entry doors.
Newer schools do. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, they should be locked. And here's another issue. It's not a rocket science to have a security alarm system wired to your local PD. Something happens, that door is supposed to be locked down, the alarm gets tripped, the staff is notified inside the school, and the local PD is notified. You know, and then as far as the mental health issue, I think, like going back to my first comment, you know, we live in troubling times. It's not like it was 30, 40 years ago. You know, I think there should be a federal law because the damage is done. There should be a law in place where, you know, we as parents or teachers or physicians should notify, you know, the police. And it should be, you know, it's sad. I mean, you know, you heard, mm-hmm. you know, other commentaries from other your viewers, mm-hmm. you know, human rights and this and that and the other. But we don't live, we live in troubling times. It's not like it was 30, 40 years ago. This stuff didn't happen. So, you know, okay. these kids are influenced. And I'll give you an example. A good friend of mine I've known for 13, 14 years. I've watched his kids. He has two boys that are, you know, slightly challenged. One kid, you know, he's prospering, you know, works in and out the assistants with the courts and very articulate, you know, mm-hmm. English and writing papers and published them in the local newspaper. And then his other kid, he's just acting out, breaking sinks, punching holes, throwing stuff. I don't even go over his house anymore because his son is getting so violent. And, you know, now he's hanging around with the wrong kids in the neighborhood, and they're taking him to bars because he's of age, mm-hmm. and the parents can't control him. And, I tell my buddy, you know, it's like, you know, you got to do something. You got to take him to the doctor. You got to go get some counseling, maybe some meds or something. You got to, you know, you're telling me you're in fear of your life, and you were ready to call the local police department mm-hmm. on him. So, you know, these kids today that have these mental health issues, they are bombarded by forces, you know, that were not there in place 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
So they have all these outside influences, and it's a shame. And then they get frustrated and, and they act out. And so, you know, that's all I got to say, I guess.
Well, Steve, thanks for calling. Thanks for watching. And
We'll get a few more calls in before the end of the hour. Take care.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
You bet. Bye-bye. Curtis in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Curtis.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I have three things I'd like to say. One is that as far as improving security in schools goes, I mean, that's great, and I think we should, but it's not going to stop someone from coming into a public place and shooting a bunch of people.
I would imagine, and, you know, we are running out of time, but that guy could have blown the doors open with his guns, the ammunition that he had. But,
well,
but we're running out of time, Curtis, so I want to hear what you have to say, though, on the other issues.
Okay. So what I'd say is he'll just, you know, they could go to a grocery store instead or a hospital. But the thing is, I also recall, and maybe I didn't get an update in the news, but I believe it was the principal that buzzed this kid in, saw him on a monitor. And so, I mean, that is actually an effective form of security.
Well, from what I understand, he forced himself into the school now.
Okay.
They're finding so. But be that as it may, there's lots of confusion still about the details behind everything. I'm sure it'll all be worked out over time. But, yeah, we're not sure. We don't know yet.
Okay.
All right.
I guess that's it. Thanks.
All right. Take care, Curtis. I'm going to try to squeeze one more in. DJ, we're running out of time, but I wanted to squeeze you in. Hello.
Hi there. Real quick, I just wanted to say the mental health issue, unfortunately, is too broad of an issue, and it unfortunately spans into the home life of each individual and how they are actually individually raised and brought up. The gun issue, again, too broad of an issue because the black market for the guns in this nation is thriving, and it's going to be there for a long time before we ever, long after we control the guns that are going into the hands of normal citizens. But I do think that right here and now, we should concentrate on ways that we can secure our schools. I'm a truck driver, and I can't even get into a factory without someone buzzing me in through a door after looking at me through a camera.
Interesting comparison. DJ, thanks for your call. Take care. Thanks to everybody. Sorry we couldn't get to all the calls, but you know this conversation will continue. We'll be talking about it more. So I hope you'll join us then. And thanks for listening today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.